Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
Well, we are in chapter 7 of our book, The Roar of the Lion, The Church Awakes. And the chapter title of chapter 7 is Filtering the Media. When we look at the history of mankind, for as long as man has been on this planet, the vast, vast majority of man's history, communication was walking to the next town and handing them the decree from the governor and the magistrate getting up in the center of the town and reading it. That was pretty much communication for 6,000 years of mankind's history. About 150 years ago, only 100 out of 6,000 years of man's history on this earth, only 150 years ago, technology hit communication and the Pony Express was invented. And a young man would get on a horse and he'd beat that thing and it would run as hard as it could run. And just about the time that horse would pass out, they'd hand the mail to another guy and he'd take off on his horse. So communication went horseback and it was unbelievable. You could communicate with somebody within 2 or 3 months. We just didn't hardly know how to handle that kind of technology. You could literally get a letter from Arkansas all the way to Georgia in 2 months. It was incredible. Some 125 years ago, just amazing technology. You could ride your horse or walk 30 miles to town, and you could go to a guy, and he... And then that would go down the line, and somebody else would get that, and they would figure out what you were saying. Just amazing technology. You know, in the history of mankind, been on this earth 6,000 years, it's only 80 years ago that we started having telephones that had everybody had access to. Only 80, 90 years ago. And you know, that was, hello, Sarah, patch me in. And you know, you had a lady that had these plugs. She'd plug out your cord and plug it over here in Sarah's cord. And it would run down to Susie's house. And then she would hear what you said. She just stayed connected. And then she would get on this line and say, hey, they're talking about you. So, I mean, you know... So also about that time of telephone, then we got TV. Now you had, if you were really blessed, you had 3 channels and you had to go outside and turn the antenna and it was so snowy you'd about rather not watch it as you had watch it, but you had 3 channels with snow on it. And you know, for all of mankind's existence, we only got the news about once every 3 months. Well, it wasn't even news anymore. That event was long over by the time you heard about it. But then only some 80 years ago, we started getting news at 6 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. And it was only for 30 minutes. And it was only 10 minutes of news and then 10 minutes of weather and then 10 minutes of sports. And so in 10 minutes... You heard about all the news that took place in the whole world. And that's pretty much all I needed to know. We're talking recent years. We're talking in the last 15 to 20 years, 24-hour news channel. And when the first one came on, it was just, wow, are you kidding me? And now, not one, but CNN and MSNBC and Fox, and I mean, the list goes on and on, that 24 hours a day, we're talking about what we used to talk about for 10 minutes. Now, somewhere you got to ad lib a whole lot. You know, when you build a news channel, and you're the owner of it, and you're going to go on air 24 hours a day with news, what is your number one concern? Viewers. It's not news. That's not your number one concern. Your number one concern is getting people to watch it. Because if people don't watch it, you're not going to stay on. If people don't use your business, then you can't stay on. So reporting the news is second to securing viewers And you got to understand that from a business. Don't sit there and watch the news like you don't understand business and economics. I'm a businessman, and I know if they don't bring in more money than goes out, that thing won't be on the air. So their number one concern is not bringing you the news. Their number one concern is getting viewers that will watch them. So you've got to flash across the screen. Breaking news, headline news, news alert. Why do you do that? It's not because there's really any breaking news. It's to hold the viewers because you are thinking, they want to think that there is. And the only reason I'm going to endure all of these commercials that take up so much time that I even forgot what I was watching, I forget the score of the ball game by the time the commercials are over. So the only reason I'm going to endure all of these commercials is because breaking news or news alert, I need to see what that is, only to find out it's the same thing we've been talking about for the last 37 hours. But why do we have breaking, news alert, flash, it, to keep scrolling across the screen? See, it's just to maintain viewers. Now, you have to understand that this generation is totally, not 99%, I'm talking about 100% entertainment oriented. Now, if it's not entertaining us and we're not enjoying it, we're not going to watch it. So, we're not reporting the news. What we're going to do is get blondes with extremely short dresses, and we're going to sit them down when they report the news to make sure that their dress even comes up a little bit further. Now, I don't know if anybody notices this but me and all the other men in here, but all of the news girls sit at glass tables. Is anybody aware of that? You'll never see a man sitting at a glass table. All the men, and you can just name them, they all sit, and you watch the screen, all of the men, Hannity, Brett Baer, it'll all be from right here up. You watch the blondes, they're going to be at a glass table, and it's going to be from ankle up. And it's going to have a dress this short with them sitting down in it so it's even shorter. We care less about the news. What we're doing is trying to maintain viewership. You don't have, because if you were doing the news, you'd have a bald 60-year-old man in a polyester suit with a legal pad reading what happened to you. Now, we're not going to have one person report the news. We're going to have a model that is a host in a short dress, and it's going to be like championship wrestling. She's always going to have two people with opposite opinions fighting. And that's what we're going to do, because everybody likes, I mean, that's why we've got cage fighting. That's why we've got the championship wrestling. That's why we've got all that, because people like to see that. So let's bring that concept into the news channel, and let's get two people or four people or five people with opposite fighting and arguing and talking over, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, because we got two more people coming for round two. I mean, that's what we're doing now. News is not a priority. The priority is to build viewers and to entertain people. So that's what we're doing. And in all of this entertainment, you've got to know that there are writers and there are producers. People are writing what is said. People are strategically writing what is said. It is rehearsed and gone over. And the producer's worldview is there. It can't not be there. So don't tell me this is a secular, non-religious news station, because as we've talked about over and over in this church, it's impossible to be non-religious. Everybody has a religion. Everybody's got a worldview that is shaping their conduct. And so this guy's religion that is producing this show is going to come out. And so all newscasts have writers, producers, anchors, and their worldview is coming in as they are gluing us to TV with a blonde, with a short dress, with news alert and news flash breaking across the channel. We're glued. We're glued. The entertainment with a message that shapes what we think is right, that shapes what we think is wrong, that shapes what we think is good, what we think is bad, that shapes what we think is now okay and acceptable. And if everybody is thinking this, if everybody now is believing this, and they portray that everybody now accepts this, our Supreme Court even accepts this. So I'm sitting here in my easy chair. Who am I to not accept that? So they're shaping our thinking. What do we do? What do we do? When you study Moses, he was given instructions to Israel in Deuteronomy with great insight on how to live in a blessed land. And that's exactly what we're doing today. Living in a blessed land. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I'm about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live. Obey them so that you may live. So that you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord your God has given your ancestors. Don't add to or subtract from these commands I'm giving you. Wow. I mean, the definition of marriage is the definition of marriage. You don't add to, nor do you subtract from it. Just obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you. Verse 5. Look, I now teach these decrees and regulations, just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Obey them completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. Everybody will see that you're the greatest nation on earth. When they all hear of these decrees, they will exclaim, "How wise, how prudent are the people of this great nation. For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? What great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instruction that I'm giving you today? But watch out. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Don't let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren." Chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands and the decrees and the regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. You and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel. Be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God, your ancestors promised you. Now listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Chapter 8. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land. The Lord, you just go on and on and on. Go over just a few pages to Joshua. As they're going in, be strong, verse 6, and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous, but be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Verse 8, study this book. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Only you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Only when? Only when you obey. You will succeed and prosper in all that you do. With the constant TV shows, 24-hour news entertaining us and shaping our thinking, with a constant newscast shaping our thinking about what we're seeing, not reporting the news, but shaping our thinking about what we just saw. And now with all of this arguing that is going on every single newscast, on every single issue, every single day, it's arguing going on. We're left with who is right. We're left with what is right. I mean, both of these folks are well-educated or they wouldn't be there. They're both very articulate or they wouldn't be there. And they're both calling each other a liar. Now, where does that leave me? Where does that leave me in it? I don't know anything about what's going on. I just need somebody to tell me what's going on. Now, what do I believe? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to make sure every member of this church has this verse memorized. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 does four things for us. Number one, it teaches us what is true. Number two, it makes us realize what is wrong. So how do I know? I got two people on here, both of them very educated, both of them very articulate, both of them very knowledgeable, both of them calling each other a liar. How do I know what is true? The scripture will make me realize what is wrong, and it will teach me what is true. And it will correct us when we're wrong, and it will teach us what is right. Church, we have, and we're just in a day and time, where we have to filter absolutely everything we hear through the inspired Word of God. Now, I'm talking, it's got to be filtered because you've got this gorgeous woman telling you. You've got this well-educated person telling you. You've got this guy with three doctorate degrees up here telling you. And I don't know. I don't even know where that country is, much less what needs to happen over there. So when John Kerry, who is well-educated, whenever the president of the United States, Barack Obama, stands up there, he's the president, and he is telling me what needs to happen in this country. How do I know? I have to filter everything I hear through the inspired Word of God. And you've got to always watch out, because you will not do that because you don't feel like it's necessary, because my gosh, if I can't believe him, who in the world could I believe? And so we are throwing our lives, our minds, our children, our grandchildren to be shaped by this writer and this producer in New York or in Hollywood or wherever they are coming from. We got to filter, and I do mean everything. Politicians, and I mentioned this the other day in church, we're hearing it all the time. Election is going on, so now we're hearing it. No American should be hungry. Well, that resonates with me. Who wants to see somebody hungry? No little child should be hungry. I don't believe anybody ought to be hungry. So I believe that. Except that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the, as much as I wish it was, as much as I don't want any children hungry, as much as I don't want any American hungry, as much as that resonates with me, as much as I am sucked into that, eating doesn't come because you're American and because you got yourself here. Eating is a result of working. And if you don't know 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, then you will be sucked in by what seems to be right, But the end will kill our country if we continue to do what seems to be right. Eating is not a privilege of living in America. Eating is a privilege of working. And we're telling everybody in the world, all you got to do is get here and you're going to be fed, you're going to be housed, you're going to be clothed, we're going to give you a car, we're going to give you a phone. All you got to do is be an American. And that's not what the Bible says. See, the media played a speech that our president gave at the National Prayer Breakfast. As he said, all religions are of equal value and have equal importance in the United States. Well, I mean, okay, I agree with that. I mean, who am I to say my religion is over somebody else's? Who am I to say I'm the only one right and everybody else is going to hell? I mean, dear Lord, I can't stand up and say that. I mean, here's our president. All religions are of equal value. All religions are of equal importance. And we as Americans want to embrace all religions. Well, I'm sitting here getting sucked into all that. Well, wait. What did Jesus say? It seems like in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Mr. President, I'm an ignorant country boy who lives on a farm. You are well educated. I appreciate that, but you are wrong. So in all of my ignorance, I'm not sucked in by his brilliance because I filtered what he said through the Bible. And no, all religions aren't of equal value. There's only one religion that will get you to God. And I didn't say that. I didn't come up with that. Well, you just said it because you're a Christian. You wouldn't say that if you were a Buddhist. No, if I was a Buddhist, I would read, I am the way, the truth, the light. And I would leave Buddhism. I'd go with Jesus because he's the way to get me to God, not Buddha. I like all my little fat-bellied statues, but if I want to get to God, I got to go to be Christian. I mean, you know what? You got to filter everything that you are hearing through what the Bible says, or you will get sucked into a good idea. I read in the newspaper that 22% of Christians now believe in reincarnation. Okay, well, next year it's 24, next year it's 28. And so if this is what Christians are believing, and then I want to embrace what is modern. Well, except for Hebrews 9:29 says, every man is appointed one time to die and then he'll face judgment. You're not gonna come back as a cow and walk around on the street. You're gonna die and you're gonna face judgment. Boom, just like that, one time. How do I know that? Not because I watch TV, because I read Hebrews. Daily, the media is inundated us with thoughts that we have to filter through Scripture. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. I mean, you know, we are a nation that wants to encompass many religions. We are a multi-religion nation. We are a nation now that is embracing many religions. I hear that all every day I turn the TV on. Somebody's going to say that in a few minutes. All the way to our world leaders. Okay, well, I want to be embracive and I want to be all inclusive. And we are, as Americans, we want to reach out. We want to have a welcome arm to all religions. Okay, well, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3, King Ahab summoned Obed, who was in charge of the palace. We got a problem here. Obed was walking along, and he suddenly saw Elijah coming toward him. Oh, man, is that really you? Oh, my Lord, Elijah, is that, yep, that's me. Go tell your master I'm here. Oh, sir, I can't tell him that. He don't like you. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come. Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he hollered, is that really you, you troubler of Israel? Verse 16. Now here, we're facing the king right here. Here's the prophet. I hadn't made any trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your family are the troublemakers. Your mama wears army boots. I tell you what we're going to do. Just tell everybody to join out there at Mount Carmel. You bring the prophets of Baal. We get 400 prophets of Asherah, supported by Jezebel. Ahab summoned all the people of Israel, all the prophets of Mount Carmel. Verse 21, then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? How long will you go on struggling between two opinions? How long will you be wavering between two? We're not a multicultural nation. We're not a multi-religious nation. We're not all-encompassing. We're not looking for many different religions. Let's get out here and find out. Let's draw a line in the sand and let's find out. If God be God, let's follow him. If Baal be God, let's follow him. But let's just be one. We're going to follow one God in this nation. Y'all know the story. Had a big showdown out there. They couldn't call fire down. Elijah just soaks his altar. Y'all know the story. Let's just have a showdown. See, that's me. I tell you what let's do. Let's just get the facts on the table. Why don't we just do that? Let's just look at all of the Muslim nations. Let's look at what the teachings of Muhammad has produced in that nation. Let's look at what those teachings have produced the worldwide. Let's just get all the facts on the table. Let's look at the safety. Let's look at the prosperity. Let's look at the health care of all Buddhist nations. Let's just get them all up on the table and let's look at the families, the safety, the health care, the provisions that Christianity has provided. Let's just have a showdown. Let's get all the facts on the table and let's decide who's God. And dear Lord, if Muhammad is the man, then let's just all in America follow him. But if he has not produced prosperity, if he's not produced safety, if he's not produced education for women and children, if he's not produced any hospitals, if he's not produced any health care, then why don't we behead all the prophets and let's follow the Lord God? Look at verse 21. How long will you limp? Two different opinions cause a nation to limp, cause a nation to hobble. I'm sorry, but that's just a wrong thought. You never turn on the TV very long that you don't read about how awful rich people are and how sad it is for all the poor people that are taken advantage of by all these rich people. And what we got to do is we got to tax the fire out of all these rich people. We got to tax their business, tax their companies, tax their corporations, tax them to the point that they want to shut their company down and move to China. Tax them right out of America. We're going to tax these rich people. Sorry, no good business owners. Let's tax the fire out of them. America, I'm tired of these rich people getting more than their share. We got presidential candidates saying that like they're proud of that. Robin Hood's a national hero. Let's just take away from all these old rich, awful rich people. Let's give these little poor little people. Well, pretty soon, the rich ain't got no money, and the poor don't have any money because they've blown it just like they blew it, and that's why they're poor. So now nobody's got it. See, okay, wait. If that, I hear what this presidential candidate is saying, but what does Matthew chapter 25 say? Well, it says there was three servants. Guy's going on a trip. He's going to give 5 to 1, 2 to 1, and 1 to 1. He came. I want you to go there. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to see because you won't think I'm telling the truth. Just go to Matthew chapter 25, red letters in the Bible. The one servant had 5. One servant had 2. They went out and doubled their 5, doubled their 2. The little poor guy that just had 1, he didn't do nothing with what God had given him. Verse 28, then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. Now, a presidential candidate says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tax all the poor people. We're going to take away what little they got. We're going to give it to the rich people because they're going to start companies. They're going to form jobs. They will put all of us to work. They will give us all a job. They will get, come on. Take the money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away, and throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what these two presidential candidates are saying right now It is attracting throngs of people, and it sounds wonderful, except for I have to filter that through Matthew chapter 25, the red letters in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do you have that verse memorized? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can't believe how many are being conformed to socialism. I never thought I would watch TV when throngs of people are saying America needs to be socialistic. We need that form of government in America. Socialism is a good thing because everybody is equal. Who's not for that? We all want everybody to be equal. We want everything to be fair. Everybody has equal food. Everybody has equal health care. Everybody has an equal house. Everybody has an equal car. Everybody has an equal phone. It sounds great. It seems like the right form of government. It's very unfair that we have a few very, very rich people in this country. All the rest of us are struggling to make ends meet. We need everything shared. And the media is telling us, did you tell me it's 98% of college professors teaching this? 98% of college professors are teaching our young people that we're sending to college that we need socialism as a form of government. Melissa said the other night, the truth is America's already tried this. We got off the boat and we shared everything and starved to death. First 2 and 3 years we were here. I mean, we already tried that. Everybody's going to share equally and all starved. If I work hard, I'm going to get the same thing as the guy who doesn't work hard, then why will I work hard? I mean, this is very clear to see socialism won't work. Sounds good. This is not a new idea. Many countries have tried this. Many world leaders have convinced their government, their country, that we ought to be socialistic, and the whole country voted for it. Except for what does the Bible say? In the midst of everybody all excited about this and thinking this is a good idea, right out of the chute, I mean jump go, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. You know what it's one of the commandments says? You shall not covet. What does that clearly teach? That God is for private ownership. And he's telling you, you don't covet what somebody else has. You don't covet your neighbor's house. You don't covet your neighbor's wife. You don't cover your neighbor's donkey or their ox or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. From jump go, God is for private ownership. God is for free enterprise system. I don't have time to go into. I had countless scriptures about private ownership. I mean, the biggest majority of Jesus' parables are private ownership and how an owner stewards over the money. Movies are very entertaining, but you got to filter them or you'll be swayed because the movie is funny. The movie is fun. A New Normal, The Modern Family, A Big Bang Theory, prime time TV shows that are funny, that are enjoyable, they're entertaining, and they show the rebellious teenager and all of their rebellious friends as cool, hip, with it, and the dad who thinks what they're doing is wrong is the nerd, is the idiot, is the one that we look down to on this TV show. I don't care how many billions of dollars this movie costs or who is in it. What did it say and what does the Bible say? Turn on TV, try to hear what happened in the world today. Story, the event, is that a biblical thought? When the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hivites, when they bomb Israel, what does God say? Don't put on what John Kerry says. Don't give me what Hillary says. When Israel is bombed, what does God say? What does God say about what side that we're supposed to be on? I don't care what Obama says. When Israel is bombed by the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, whose side? I want to know what does the Bible say about the attack on Israel? I mean, I could just go on and on and on. I just want to make sure that you know every news is a show. It once was a newscast. it's no longer a newscast. It is a show. Look at the legs. Look at the hairdos. Look at the colors. Look at what they're doing. Every newscast is not a newscast. It is a show designed to entertain you, to hold you, and to sway and shape your thinking on whatever issue they're talking about. For generations, for thousands of years, we had no media. Our thinking was shaped by the pastor, by parents, and by school teachers, who were all biblical-based in their thinking. We began with some snowy media and newscast. We had black and white entertainment. Roy Rogers, Rifleman, Virginia, Bonanza, Gunsmoke. Go back and watch any one of those. Any one of those. We've been talking about it. I've been going back and watching. Every one of them has a moral life. Every one of them. The son lied and we talked about lying. Every one of them. The bad guy got found out and got punished. Good always won. Bad always was the guilty party. You look at the life lessons that were taught in those black and white TV shows. Now 24/7, we've got a liberal agenda media shaping our lives, and we are doing it with such great entertainment that we are gluing America's thinking. What we got to do is we got to filter everything we hear through God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful. Right here will teach us what is right. When you find out about a news event that takes place, what did God say about that, and what do I think about that issue? When you watch a TV show, when you go to a movie, when you're entertained, you make sure that you know enough scripture to balance that off. All scripture will teach us what is true, make us realize what is wrong. It'll correct us when we're wrong, and it'll teach us to do what is right. Here is our filter. Y'all stand. Church, we got to wake up now. I'm just telling you. First thing you know, we're going for a way that seems right because it was so well promoted. It was so well done with the actors and the entertainment. It so well convinced us. And first thing you know, Christians, the church, is way off out here in left field in what they think is right. Way off in left field. The church, the ones with the answer, aren't even close to the biblical answers in life. Lord, continue to help us. Direct us. Guide us through your word. Illuminate your scripture to us that we not be conformed to this world's way of thinking, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, washed by your word. Direct and guide our life, that our lives can be lived obedient to you and thus prosperous in all that we do. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.